The following program is produced by the Living Church of God.
Is there a true church today? Amid all the religious confusion, my friends, does the God of heaven have a true church here on earth? Does that church really understand the purpose of life and the specific prophecies that are now beginning to occur? Are there specific proofs as to where that church is today? Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith asks, is there a true church today? And now, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith.
Why is professing Christianity all divided up into over 400 different denominations and sects? Is God the author of confusion, or has he allowed Satan to blind most of humanity during this era? Go get your Bible. Think about this. You prove these things. Go get your Bible. Please follow me in your Bible. Don't believe me. I ask you to believe what your Bible says. Prove what I'm going to say out of the pages of your Bible. Turn with me, my friends, to Revelation 12. Revelation 12 in your New Testament, verse 9. God says here in his inspired word, he says, so the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil, and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast out to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So Satan, and we find elsewhere, one-third of his angels were cast down to this earth, and they're deceiving people on the earth today. Are you deceived, my friends? If you're deceived, do you want to remain deceived? Or are you willing to listen with an open mind and an open heart to new truth out of your Bible? I grew up in a mainstream church. For 19 years, I went to a mainstream church through junior high, high school, 1 year of junior college back in the state of Missouri. I went to church regularly. I was president of my Sunday school class. Both my parents graduated from the denominational college, or a denominational college. We understood what that church believed, and I had about 25 good friends, fellows. I really did, about 25, and we were pretty close up in my end of town, and they went to various other Protestant churches. But all my friends and I who were attending various churches did not really know God at all. And sometimes in the bull sessions, they'd realize and talk about it. And God was way off, and they were in confusion. And even though I didn't understand very much, they would ask me to explain, well, what's really going on? Why are these things happening? Why are all these wars coming along? Why did God let Jimmy die, our friend Jimmy Mallett and others? We would talk about that. We did not understand. And the churches did not explain. They did not give the answer. The true God of the Bible was not real to us, and he was certainly not real to our parents either. We could see that, and their lives proved that. But then I came to understand that God does have a true church on this earth, and I found that I could prove this fact, prove it clearly out of the Bible, out of fruits, out of what was being done, and out of Bible prophecy that this church and this church alone really understood. And so I began to understand that I could understand all of the Bible and not just a few sentimental verses. Oh, when I was back in this church, I talked about, you know, John 3:16, God so loved the world. I memorized the 23rd Psalm, the Lord's Prayer, and there were certain verses they talked about, and they talked about good ideas and loving your neighbor and being a good person. But when it came down to the specifics, they were very vague. And when it came to heaven, what it was like, of course, they couldn't understand that either, because the Bible doesn't tell us we're going to heaven when we die. And they began to talk about a lot of generalities and political stuff and poetry and philosophy. They did not understand the Bible. Picture all these churches out there, my friends. There are thousands of them. Nice buildings, nice people. But most are in utter confusion. They have never proved why they believe what they believe. They've never studied the Bible and dug it out and really proved the truth of God. Have you? My friends, please open your minds and consider five indicators or five signposts that point to the true church of God on earth today. proof number one, indicator number one of God's true church. The Bible is the real authority for the true church of God. In Luke 4 and verse 4, Jesus Christ said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Man is to live by every word of God. Jesus said so. Now, frankly, the only word of God they had back then, as you know, was the Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament. That's all they had, yet Jesus said, live by it. And, of course, the Old Testament points to the New. It is the foundation of the New. And if you rip it out of your Bible and say, oh, well, there's nothing good back there except some sentimental psalms, you have no foundation for the New Testament. You have no foundation for a lot of things the New Testament is talking about. So you're to live by every word of God. And yet, as I said a few moments ago, even the Protestant religious pollsters, they know that most people going to various churches do not understand the Bible. They can't even name the four Gospels. They have no idea about what the Bible contains. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. In other words, the Bible is thorough in equipping you to do what God wants you to do. You don't need this book that so-and-so over here wrote or so-and-so over here wrote. You don't need some other books, as so many denominations use, beside the Bible. You do need the Bible. And the Bible is God-breathed, and it's for, of course, doctrine, to teach us truth. It's for reproof, to show us where we're wrong. Are you willing to admit where you're wrong? Are you? Most people are not. That's one of the hardest things to do, to be willing to admit you're wrong. Yet the Bible is for reproof. It's for correction, and it's for instruction in righteousness to tell us how we ought to live. But lots of churches say, well, you're sort of righteous in a way by the imputed righteousness of Jesus, but you don't really have to be righteous. You just accept what Jesus did 1,900 years ago. Most churches do not use the Bible as their real authority. That's the point. They don't use the Bible when it comes to certain things that they don't want to do in modern times, where they'll say, well, you know, the Bible said this, but it was out of date. And it just reflected the thinking of its times, and so we're going to change this around. Let's rip this part out. Well, let's just rip this part out. The Bible clearly says you're not to kill, thou shalt not kill, but when it comes time for war, well, we've got to go off and have war. We've got to kill other people, often even of the same denomination. Do you realize, my friends, that the good Protestants on one side, on the north, were fighting the good Protestants in the south, in the Civil War, butchering each other? And good other people in Europe and other denominations were doing the same thing and have been doing the same thing, killing others, but the thousands of their own denomination in wars. Think about it. What kind of church is that? What kind of religion is that? What kind of Christianity is that? Some churches have other religious writings which actually carry more authority with these people than the Bible. As I've said, the Church of God should not have that. The Bible should be the sole authority. There is one church on earth which uses the Bible as its sole and total authority. It really does. Where is that church? You need to find out. At this point, my friends, I want to offer you a free copy of a powerful booklet which will answer many, many related questions tying right in with this program. This fascinating booklet is entitled Restoring Apostolic Christianity. It will prove to you what happened to the true church and what real Christianity of Christ and the apostles was actually like. So call or write today. Just request your free copy of this vital booklet, Restoring Apostolic Christianity. Just ask for the booklet on Apostolic Christianity.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation, if you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
Now back to our topic, is there a true church today? We were talking, my friends, speaking about 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, where God tells us, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The true church of God has the Bible as its sole authority. It believes these verses. It is willing to do what the Bible says in every area of life. It lets the Bible correct it. It lets the Bible be the genuine basis of its doctrine. That's very important. That is the foundation. Point number one, the true church looks to the Bible as its total authority for doctrine and practice. Number two, the true church has the correct name. Some people have named their churches after a nation. Some churches have named their church after a man's name. Some churches have named themselves after some form of church government or whatever. But God doesn't do that. Think about it. Are you willing to let the Bible tell you what the name of the church ought to be? What name for the true church is clearly stated 12 times in the New Testament of your Bible? Turn with me to some of these. Turn to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 now and verse 28. Here the Apostle Paul was talking to the Ephesian elders, saying he'd never see them again, and they were going to weep with him before he left and so on. But he said in verse 28, therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God. Oh, the church of God, not the church of something else, not some name about a couple of doctrines identifying the name of the church, but God's church. How strange we would call it God's church. That's what it is, isn't it? It's God's church. And so he calls it in the Bible 12 times the church of God, or in some places the plural is used, churches of God. And the vast majority, they calls it the church of God. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God, which is at Corinth. Various designations as to where the church is, of course, or whatever, certain things about it, but always the church of God. And that's another important place here. Turn to Galatians chapter 1 now. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 13. Here Paul writes, for you have heard of my former conduct, Paul tells the Galatians, in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. He persecuted the true church. As the Bible clearly shows us, he persecuted the church of God. Now, if you have a pen or pencil, get it. I want to list the other places. I don't have time to expound them all. But you look up these places. There are 9 other places coming up to 12. 12 is the number of organizational beginnings. It's the foundation number in the Bible. 12 patriarchs, 12 tribes of Israel, 12 apostles, and so forth. 12 gates in and out of the holy city, and so it goes. The other 9 places are 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 32, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 22, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 2, 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 4, 1 Timothy 3, verse 15, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 16, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9, 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 14, 1 Timothy 3, verse 5. All those places indicate that the church should be called the church of God, because that is the term God uses in his inspired word about the true church. God names things what they are. That is not some little point. That is an absolutely vital point, an absolutely vital point, and we need to understand. Therefore, according to the Bible, if you're going to go over the Bible, the correct name for the true church of God should be the church of God. That's right. Where is that church that lets the Bible be its total authority and is called the church of God? Now the third signpost indicating what God's church is, the true church preaches the true gospel. Back in Mark chapter 1, verse 14, now, after John was put in prison, this is the beginning of the ministry of the Son of God. He should know what the true gospel is. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. He was preaching to them the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of God, the coming government of God on this earth. When Christ will come back as King of kings and Lord of lords, the good news of the kingdom of God. And you look all through the New Testament, and that is certainly the name of the true gospel. Oh, that term gospel of grace is used occasionally, or the gospel of Jesus, or the gospel of Jesus Christ, or whatever. But the actual message is not just about Christ's person, it's the message he preached. And he preached the gospel of the kingdom of God. And that is the true gospel. Turn also, if you would, at this point, to Acts. Acts chapter 28, my friends, and verse 30. Then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concerned the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course he did. And of course we should. Christ is our Savior. He's our Redeemer. He's our High Priest. And he's the King of that coming kingdom. But the gospel is not just about his person. It's the message he brought from God the Father in heaven. He says, I've been sent with a message. And the message was the coming kingdom of God. And so Paul preached the kingdom of God and was teaching those things which concerned the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. Then we turn back to Matthew 24, if you would. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14 in this famous Olivet prophecy of the events leading up to Christ's return. He said, and this gospel of the kingdom, that's the message that was to be preached at the time of the end. And I'm preaching that to you now. This gospel of the kingdom, the coming government of God, will be preached to all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come, the end of this age, not the end of the earth. So the true gospel is the kingdom or government of God. And we talk about that all the time on this program and in the Tomorrow's World magazine. So we should have proved that to you over and over again. That is the true gospel. The fourth identifying sign, sign number 4, indicating where God's true church is that the true church keeps all 10 of God's commandments. It doesn't water them down. It keeps all 10. Think about it. In Matthew 19, turn with me now back to Matthew 19, and here's the Son of God. Did the Son of God know the way to eternal life? According to a lot of modern ministers, frankly, he didn't. They've invented a different gospel. They don't believe Jesus. They don't believe and agree with what Jesus said right here. And if you question a lot of them, technically, they will admit that. You don't ask them in that term. You just say, what do you think you need to do? And they'll come up with some different explanation as to your way of life. But Jesus said, Matthew 19:17, the young man asked him, what can I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, why do you call me good? There's no one good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter life, keep the commandments. Keep the commandments. And Jesus began to name some of the 10 commandments. The young man asked him, which? And he said, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. And he began to name a number of the 10 commandments. They're the 10 commandments. You are to keep them all, my friends, not just part of them. In fact, back here in James, I'm going to give a little extra scripture here. I had not planned, but I think you need this. Back in James chapter 2, it says in verse 10, talking about the 10 commandments, James 2 verse 10, for whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. If you break one point of God's law, you're guilty of all. For whoever said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. So he's talking about the 10 commandments. The 10 commandments have 10 points. If you break one point, you break them all. Lots of people, and most of the churches of this world, want to be able to break the 5th commandment. If they see some pretty woman next door and begin to get involved, they think it's all right to divorce and remarry, and frankly, commit adultery. As they do. They think that's all right. You can reason around God's word, they think. They think it's all right to fight and kill, as I've explained. And they certainly think it's all right to break the 4th commandment. Go back and read the 4th commandment. They think that's not important. They've tried to do away with that one and jerk that right out of the middle of the 10 commandments and break it and smash it repeatedly. And yet they call themselves Christian. And these churches call themselves Christian. What's going on? Revelation chapter 12, verse 13. Now when the dragon had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. He persecuted Israel and persecuted Christ. Now the church becomes the New Testament church. But to the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, for she is nourished for a time, times, and half a time from the presence of the serpent. So it's coming right down to the time of the end, and the true church has to flee to safety. And finally he says in verse 17, the dragon was enraged. The devil is enraged with the true church of God. And he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, those who are not protected, those who are not watching and praying, but still were in the true church, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. The commandments of God. Yes, they keep those commandments. The true church does. Notice Revelation 14, verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments, plural, all 10 of them, the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Not just faith in Jesus, but the very faith of Jesus. Notice 1 John 3, verse 22. He said, whatever we ask, we receive from Him, from God, who is the antecedent of this, God the Father, because we keep His, God's, commandments, plural, and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. We have our prayers answered because we keep His commandments. That's what God tells us to do. And He says back in chapter 5, 1 John 5 and verse 3, He said, for this is the love of God. Do you want the love of God? The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. He says, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. God's commandments are not too hard to keep. Yet the world tries to say they are. They are not too hard to keep. They would make the world at peace and joy if those commandments were kept all over the earth as a way of life. But Satan has cleverly undermined them and caused people to just grab out to just say, we're just under grace. There's no law. Just do your thing. But just believe. Just believe. Yet God says faith without works is dead in James 2 and verse 20 and other places. So God's true church keeps all 10 of the 10 commandments as a way of life and teaches that message to you. Now what is the fifth identifying sign of God's true church? Point number 5, the true church of God on earth today does the work of God. As we've seen back in Matthew 24, verse 14, Jesus said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the whole world as a witness to all nations. And then the end of this age will come. The true church of God is doing that, preaching this gospel to the world. And so that is an indicator of where God's true church is today, the church that is preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Back in Amos chapter 3, the book of Amos, a famous prophecy certainly referred to in the New Testament, Amos 3 and verse 6. If a trumpet is blown in the city, will not the people be afraid? If there's calamity in a city, will not the Eternal have done it? Surely the Eternal God has done nothing except He reveals His secret to His servants, the prophets. A lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Eternal God has spoken. Who can but prophesy? Somewhere on earth today, God has a church that understands the prophecies of the Bible. We're living in the time of the end. You need to understand. And God's true church does understand and give you specific indications, specific understanding of the prophecies of the Bible. Do you know where that church is today? That is the church of God. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4 now in your New Testament. Ephesians chapter 4 and beginning verse 11. Here it's speaking of Christ, the living head of the church. Christ Himself gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The church is to do the work of God, and they're to help people to reflect Jesus Christ in totality, until we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Not our ideas, not our philosophy, but what this book says, to live by every word of God. And so the true church is to reflect that, till we all come to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. There is one church which really guides its members to get back to the religion of Christ and the apostles, to restore apostolic Christianity. This church doesn't merely follow the traditions of men, but it follows the direct teachings of the Bible in every area of life. This true church is called the Church of God. Historically, my friends, God has always had a true church here on earth. And you can find that, and we'll have literature for you that proves that. Again, be sure to call or write immediately for your free copy of our vital booklet, Restoring Apostolic Christianity. This booklet really spells out what true Christianity is all about. It gives biblical and historical proofs of how this kind of Christianity was stamped out during the well-named Dark Ages. So call now and request your free copy of this powerful booklet. This is the booklet, Restoring Apostolic Christianity.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
Again, my friends, there are a number of signposts which certainly show where God's true church is today. I've just had time to briefly cover five of them, and here they are. Number one, the true church has the Bible as its real authority. Number two, the true church has the correct name, the Church of God. Number three, the true church preaches the true gospel, the same gospel Christ and the apostles preached, and you could prove that. Point number four, the true church keeps all 10 of the 10 commandments as a way of life. Number five, the true church does the work of God. Frankly, you are hearing from the true church of God on earth right now as I speak to you. Think about it. Be sure to prove these things to yourself. Don't take our word for it. Please really study your Bible and learn to believe what God tells you in the Bible. Open your mind and act on God's truth as He reveals His truth to you. And be sure to tune in every week, my friends, to another powerful Tomorrow's World program. You will be taught and challenged by this exciting program on a topic seldom understood in our modern professing Christian world. Tune in every week as Richard Ames and I give you the real meaning behind today's news and the meaning of life itself. See you right here next week.
The informative booklet offered on this program is yours absolutely free if you call 1-800-934-5579 or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. Be sure to visit our webpage at www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program was produced by the Living Church of God.